D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick, presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Welcome into our Tuesday show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Adam Fingan continues his vacation. But we did hear from Adam this morning. He has contributed to the show from afar.
Yes. You knew it was a matter of time.
It was just a matter of time. I think the over-under was probably today.
A day? Yeah, a day or two.
Right around like mid-show today. So, yep.
We didn't count the weekend because we're not working. But right. The minute we get back to working on Monday, the over-under was a day and day and a half. And we got it. Yeah.
And there was an incredibly sad story in Manhattan yesterday. And there was there's no good story when it comes to the latest shooting. Mass shooting, and we know all too well in our city that it can happen anywhere. And so in Midtown Manhattan, but the sports angle, and this is something that Adam shared with us in case we hadn't seen it, is the shooter. He was targeting the NFL offices because he has, you know, who knows what goes on in the mind of, you know, a madman like that, but he was... The dangers of football.
Because the story is now starting to form that there's a potential grievance with the NFL in regards to CTE.
Right.
It was a 27-year-old young man. And did he play in the NFL?
No, he did not. He played high school football.
Yeah, that's the part that is sort of disconnecting. Unless he has a family member. Or something that played in the NFL and succumbed to CTE. Maybe that's the angle, but high school, I mean, you have to really weave a, you know, serious sort of knot or you know, string to, you know, attach high school football to the NFL, because right.
But he was mentally ill.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah.
So the note that they found, he had tied his mental illness to, I think I have CTE.
CTE,
of course,
yes.
Nobody knows if you have CTE until
exactly.
After you're passed, and you can analyze the brain, right?
Yeah.
You can think you might, but he tied all of us together. And
exactly.
Decided to go on go after the NFL and. He went to the wrong elevators, but still, obviously, he killed four people
exactly.
At the end of the day. And it was extremely tragic and sad. And once again, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen again some point. We don't know where, but we continue to not be able to curtail these enough with the type of weapon he had and all of that. Just the latest one. It's just awful.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Especially for those, you know, that have lost their lives, family members that now are grieving because of the lives lost. We only know one at this point. I don't think they released any other names. The police officer was the first victim, and I think that's the only thing they've released thus far. But there were three others or four others, including the actual perpetrator. He took his own life, I believe.
Yes.
But it's unfortunate, you know, and listen, people are going to debate this back and forth. And the only reason we're talking about it because of the sports angle.
Right.
That's why we
I mean, it's the number
it
one story yeah, on any sports story. Website exactly. You go to right now.
Absolutely.
So we have to mention it.
So we're going to talk about it, but it's just, again, when you almost say when is enough, but it seems like whoever, and this may be controversial, but whoever are not making laws, they got an appetite for this stuff. That's the only way I can kind of rationalize it. You must have an appetite to watch this when it comes up, because if I don't have an appetite for something, I'm gonna make sure either I'm not engaged or I'm going to do something that curtails what is going on. And flat out is, you know, some people have an appetite for this. And it's unfortunate, you know, because we've for long as we're praying for the family. We need to do this. Mm-hmm. We need to do that. But nothing really gets done but a lot of lip service. So either you have an appetite for it, you don't care, or because it hasn't affected you, you know, you see it as just, hey, something that happens in the world.
I know this, mm-hmm. you know, people will point to the fact that New York has among the toughest gun laws.
Yeah, exactly.
And this still happens there. So I think no matter what you do, mm-hmm. some of this will still happen exactly. at some level. But I've always looked at it as if we could cut it down, mm-hmm. if there are things that we can do to just cut the percentage down mm-hmm. over time.
Yes.
That's what I would like to see. Exactly. And I think there's more that we can do sensibly.
Absolutely.
But here we are.
But yeah, we're bringing it up because it has a sports angle. So that's why we're bringing it up, people.
So now let's get to you and I both got a chance to go to the Titans practice, mm-hmm. the first practice in pads. And so that's going to be the big subject of our show today. I hope people got a chance to hear Sebastian Joseph Day on with Chase and Big Joe. That was
a potty mouth.
Ooh, they had to really push the dumb button on him, didn't they?
Well,
just a little.
Just a few times. He might have set a record for most in one interview, and it was a great interview. He's a really sharp guy. He's an impressive guy. And it's interesting they had a defensive player on because D-Mace, without trying to bury the headline, mm-hmm. the defense was good today, but the headline we know is going to be Cam Ward had a day.
Yes.
That was a struggle. There's no way around it. If you thought that every day was going to go super smooth, mm-hmm. despite everything everybody likes about him, you're wrong. And this was a reminder of that. He struggled mightily today, and hopefully in the big picture, it will help him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was talking with TD, and this was probably in the middle of practice. Well, toward the latter part of practice. When I said it, but he and I had been standing there watching some of the team drills and in 707. And I turned to him and I just said, man, he's just having a rookie day. That's what he's having. He's having a rookie day. And fortunately, it's the first day of pads. Defense usually typically has the edge in the first day of pads, but there seemed to be some miscommunication with he and his receivers. The timing was off. And I said to you at one point, Willie, I said, you summed it up well. I was trying to figure out the word. I'm like, he just doesn't seem like his throws are. And then you say, there's no conviction behind his throws. And I was like, you're right. Like, there's not.
It wasn't decisive.
Exactly.
And he was way off target on a lot of. And mm-hmm. he tried to make some difficult throws.
Yeah, he
today,
did.
Today, they were attacking down the field. Even mm-hmm. I noticed when they were doing the shell with no defense.
Yes.
He threw a lot of deep. Yes. They were working on it. So, you know, you're not going to complete. We just had the discussion mm-hmm. last week with Adam about when somebody puts in the stats mm-hmm. and so-and-so went 9 for 9. Mm-hmm. That usually doesn't come on a day where they're throwing the ball down the field. They were. He was trying to make some difficult throws. But that being said, his success rate was very low today, and there were some interceptions, and it seemed to unravel mm-hmm. towards the end of practice. By my observation, the last team drill where it was, you know, 11-on-11, mm-hmm. he threw a couple of picks, and there were just wild throws. One was the guy around, you know, was not on the same page. He cut one way, the throw went the other, and it looked bad. So I don't know whose fault that was, but it just didn't look good. And you're going to have days like this for sure. So how they handle it will be the important thing.
Well, how they show up tomorrow will be extremely important because, listen, again, I'm not making excuses for the Titans, and I'm not going to sit here and try to paint a rosy picture. It wasn't good. But just because it wasn't good doesn't mean that now from this point on, you know, this ship is going down. That's not
right.
the case, you know.
That's how we have to avoid the wild sways
absolutely.
In just being able to watch a practice.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy to get caught up in that.
You got to know that, because Willie mentioned it, today it was an emphasis, I believe, on pushing the ball down the field, trying to get the ball down the field, having pads on, getting more of a realistic view of what Cam is going to see or what the offensive line is going to see. So let's try to push the ball downfield because we can hold on to the block a little bit longer because we have on pads. So it seemed like there was a concerted effort to push the ball down the field by all means. And there were times where Cam was off, whether it be underthrown or overthrown. Now, he made some good throws in the midst of all of that too. But it seemed like he was half a tick slow at times. And it doesn't seem, again, rookie day, they need to do better. But it doesn't seem like he still was in college mode where he was trying to, he was a little late, he was late on things and things were not clicking fast for him. It's like he was reading everything just a tad bit too slow. On several situations where I thought he should have got to the backside quicker. But today just seemed like he was processing all of what they were doing up front. He was doing that, and what it was doing, it was slowing him down in his progression. He has to get better at that, but I think he will. Again, he was having a rookie day, and it didn't look good. But your players got to help you. Your veterans got to help you. And there were times where veteran guys, tight ends, didn't help in certain situations, but then there were times where Cam Ward just needs to make a better throw.
I think you hit on one thing that, again, me, who I'm only observing. I don't know what the plays are. I don't know how the plays work. I'm just watching. But when you heard, and Dan Orlovsky made this point over the weekend, or at some point on the Inside the NFL, what they were looking for with Cam Ward, he was on a panel with Lewis Riddick, and they were talking about playing quick. Mm-hmm. You talk about it all the time, getting the ball out quick. Teron talks about it all the time. And today I thought that was a big thing, was the timing. And one thing Sebastian Joseph Day talked about with Chase and Joe is Denard Walker, this is now the second year he's running that defense, mm-hmm. and they are throwing some stuff at him, and he's a rookie quarterback, and it's not super easy. So that's a factor. But I saw several plays where, you know, he held the ball, right? And mm-hmm. It doesn't look like the timing was crisp. And we have to remind ourselves, this is a rookie in his first mm-hmm. padded practice in the NFL. But those type of things can be a good wake-up call, I think, in the long run, if you realize how far you need to go. And I think from everything we've been told about Cam Ward, he's the type of guy who can take the criticism, mm-hmm. take a day like this in stride, and learn from it. But there's no doubt that that was – and you know what? It's good to struggle,
exactly.
Don't you think? I mean, you want him to struggle a little bit. If you think everything's going to be easy all through preseason practice, you get the rude awakening when week one hits. You might want to have some rough practices.
Yeah, I mean, this is what practice is for, to, you know, go out there and try new things, get timing down, you know, find out what works, what doesn't, what the quarterback is comfortable with at this particular moment, what he's not, bring him along slowly. That's why I think that period, I tend to believe today's practice, emphasize deep ball today, pushing the ball down the field. So with that being said, maybe you hold on to the ball a little bit longer. You try to do some things that are going to buy you some time just so you can push the ball down the field, or you're pushing the ball down the field regardless. And listen, you're going to have days like that where, you know, maybe it doesn't work, but it doesn't work because this is what it's almost like you're intentionally doing this and trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. Well, it didn't look good today. Well, you come back this afternoon or tomorrow and you start it all over again and see if the offense has caught up with the defense and see if Cam, because he's going to see these same looks again tomorrow. He's going to see them the same thing. So see if he can recognize them a lot earlier tomorrow or this afternoon.
I was going to ask you about how much in general, forget about the fact that you've got a rookie quarterback and a lot of new guys on offense, but is the defense generally at this stage of practice ahead of the offense? Should we factor that in to trying to avoid panic right? Which a lot of people, we always overreact to certainly a preseason game, but even practice, and we shouldn't do that. But we do want to talk about it. Everybody wants to know what happened at practice. This is what happened at practice today. They were under the microscope. Mm-hmm. But is the defense generally ahead? Should they be ahead? And why?
Well, because for this reason, the defense, they can pin their ears back and they can get after the quarterback. And it's almost like, you know, if one of those guys mess up on the front end, then regardless if a guy hit the wrong, you know, hole or whatnot, I still may get pressure on the quarterback. So it's when the defense mess up, nobody really sees it unless there's a blown coverage on the back end.
Yeah.
When the offense mess up, everybody sees it right away because typically somebody's in the quarterback's face. Mm-hmm. Or there's an errant pass or an interception makes the quarterback release the ball a lot quicker. That's why typically on the first day, the defense usually had the upper hand because they're just rushing. They're pinning their ears back and they're just rushing. They're dropping in spots. Well, the offense got to figure all of this out. You know, it's typically not until that second practice where things start to level themselves out, if they are. If your offense is worth any, you know, anything, then the next practice will be a little bit better in regards to assignment. Right now, we're trying to – it's like chaos for the defense. Defense can be chaotic. Offense can't. So the defense in their chaoticness, if that's a word, cause confusion for the offensive line. So that's why I said that next practice, when they come back out, Cam should look better. The offensive line should recognize things a lot quicker. If he doesn't, then you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to go back to the lab and be able to read this stuff and identify it a lot quicker.
It's very early. Another thing that we saw that has been brought up, and this was the first practice I've been at, so I've heard about this, and I didn't want to make any prejudgments. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, I would have liked to have seen, it was an 8 a.m. practice, so it was a little cooler. It was a long practice, and you can tell that, you know, in this NFL, people are so much more conscious about your hydration level and how much sleep have you had and what are you eating and what's the post-practice routine and all of that. But not that I want to see old school and craziness and fights or anything like that, but I did think there was a little bit of a lack of pep, tempo, an energy, and it's got nothing to do with what they're doing at practice. It's how they're doing it. Did you see that?
Unfortunately, I said this before, first day of practice, and it seemed to have had some people scratching their heads like, what does he mean? The practice was, you know, it was a good practice. So when I'm looking at practice, I may be looking at it from a different sort of vantage than someone else, or a different type of mentality or whatnot than somebody else, because there was no energy the first day of practice, and today there was not much energy there today.
Well, let's give an example. Usually, when the defense picks off a pass for a touchdown, the defense on the sideline goes crazy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I didn't really see that. They had one today.
Yeah,
right.
They had two, I think. They had two.
Yeah. Like there was some. Hey, all right. You know, but it wasn't the like. There should be. I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Should, like, I'm not telling you how to. I'm not Vince Lombardi here, right? But my observation, usually, especially the first day of pads, there's a little rivalry going on, offensive line versus. I'm not saying fights, but a little bit of, yeah, we got you on that one. You're a little. Way to go. You know, just, you're cheering for, you know, it's not trash talk. I'm not talking about that. But there's an energy, there's an enthusiasm, or there's at least a couple of guys on either side of the ball that are pepping up guys. And I just didn't see that much.
We've seen it, and I'm only basing it on previous years. Now, listen, maybe it's good that you don't have sort of that guy because they've had it last two seasons and it ain't worked. The energy hadn't worked. So maybe doing something different is good for this team. But I'm used to this team there being a pop to this team, there being an energy throughout the whole practice, not energy here, energy there, energy throughout the whole practice. Well, frankly, that's because they had leaders, you know, Byard, you know, guys like that, that made sure the practice always had some type of energy. You had Henry and Tannehill and AJ and those guys on the other side of the ball. They made sure the game, the practice always had energy. It doesn't seem the two practices that I've witnessed, and I brought it up because the first practice, man, there shouldn't have been a down moment in that practice. First day of practice, man. Just like a kid, like, there's a, when you step out on that field first day, man, that's a privilege. Like, when you talk about the first day, you talk about the grass smelling, you know, the dew on the grass when you first go out there. You're talking, because it's exciting.
Adrenaline. There's an
it's
adrenaline.
It's exciting. It wasn't there. And then the first day of pads, it's like, man, I get to really take out my aggression on somebody. Like, I'm going to show them that I can play. Or I'm going to show, he talked trash yesterday. Oh, I'm going to show him not at the pads on. I'm going to do it all legally within the rules, but I'm going to show him. It just wasn't that type of, and again, maybe I look at it different than what the coach, maybe the coaches thought there were energy and they were flying. But when you're just sitting and watching and you're not in it, maybe I recognize some things that I just think it should be a given. It wasn't there.
One thing I thought of too, and I don't want to overemphasize, this is just one thing that there were a lot of things I'm sure they felt like they got accomplished today. If I'm the defense, I'm pretty happy with how it went. They played pretty loud music for about what, D-Mace? It's about half the practice, right?
Yeah, that stuff is just,
and even during some team drills, like I from what I've seen most years, and I've watched Titans practices pretty much every year, the music usually is at the beginning of practice, the first 30 minutes or so, and then when you start getting into more intense drills, they stop it. And I found that a little curious, right? They were playing music well into some of the team stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure I don't know how much they did that last year. I know they had a lot of music playing last year, but I'm not sure, you know, if it was throughout the duration of practice or did they cut it off at one point, because you always want to have sort of that background music in a sense. Maybe that's just what they do. But yeah, that it almost drowned out practice. It just,
yeah, well, and that's where I tried to say, like, am I not hearing the pep and the back and forth because the music is drowning me out? I did have that thought. And eventually the music stopped, but I still kind of felt the same way, that it wasn't as peppy as I would have liked to have seen. Enthusiasm. But look, it's one practice.
Yes. So, I mean, you take it for what it's worth. But next practice in pads needs to be a lot better, because you can excuse it today, what you saw and what happened. You can excuse it. I know they're not excusing it, meaning the Titans offense. I'm sure they want to come out and do a much better job. So you can excuse it, but you can't have back-to-back days and pads where the offense looks lackluster. It didn't look like it had energy. There wasn't this sense of urgency to get to the huddle, get up, and get going. And again, maybe some guys, there are just a lot of new guys, and they're trying to figure some things out. And I would say this. When you have a considerable amount of new faces, things may tend to run a little bit slower until, you know, you kind of get everything going. But, man, you had mini camps. You had all this to kind of, you know, get that stuff sort of worked out before you get into camp. But I understand even in camp, you're still working out some of the kinks and you're still working out the flow of it. But I just wish there was more pep in the practice. I wish Callahan would just be like, stop, let's start this thing over. But I understand he can't do that based upon the new CBA rules. There's a lot of things you just can't do. Yeah. Coaches, I mean, Fish, John, they would start practice over again. Like, nah, this ain't going the way we want it to go. Let's start it over again. And typically, that gets everybody going.
Most of us have had that coach. You play for enough teams or coaches, even when you're young. Sometimes that's a tactic a coach has sometimes. When we come back, Tim Hasselbeck will join us. We'll get sort of his take on where things stand, how you handle these types of things. Talk a little NFL football with him. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game, and we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back here on DVD, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. First day of pads for the Titans, and Tim Hasselbeck is with us here on 102.5 The Game, head football coach, Ensworth Tigers, so I'm sure he's been doing some work on the gridiron, on the grass field, getting ready to go. Football is around the corner, of course. Analyst for ESPN's NFL coverage as well. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I mean, here's the deal. Training camp at Austin Peay. You said first day of pads, Willie. I thought you were talking about Ensworth. Actually, second day of pads. Okay, second day of pads. Austin Peay, great facilities. Very thankful for their hospitality. Turf field.
Oh,
so, turf field.
Okay.
I need somebody to explain the science to me. I don't care how tight you tie your shoes, those black pellets still end up in your shoes. Like, what is it? Like, how does that happen?
They have a mind of their own. They're living beings. They just jump in your shoe, man. Then they don't want to get out.
It's crazy.
And, you know, one of the things, that, Tim, we told you we were doing this. We had the rewatched game from 1986, and it was at the Meadowlands on the hardest carpet. You know, and maybe not the worst. Maybe Veterans Stadium would contend, but it's funny when they would do the update, the scores from another game, invariably it would be in another field that had just as bad a turf. How much better do you think we're dealing with the pellets because it's better than the carpet, right?
I think so, and now, depending on where you go, it's like coconut in there or, you know, some type of gluten-free sand or something like that that they have in there, you know, at some of them now. But look, as somebody that played in college on, like, on AstroTurf, like the actual AstroTurf, I believe, listen, it's gotten better. You know, grass, I would say, is better than the field turf, but field turf certainly a step above that, basically the asphalt that we were playing on, you know, back in those days.
So, obviously, you're watching your own team. You're evaluating. Cam Ward, D-Mace, and I just got back from the practice. He clearly struggled today, and it's to be expected on some of the days. You know, you'd love for him to have some big moments, but it looked clear to me that, you know, as practice is going on, the swagger and the confidence was being tested some. So we've all been there, right? I'm sure you've had those types of practices. How do you try to battle through that, especially as a young player, when you know you just don't have your A game and you're not used to that?
Well, first off, I appreciate the delicate way you put that for me having gone through that. I did have a game with a zero quarterback rating, so that was very generous of you, Willie. I appreciate it. I think it's one of these things. I think everybody knows that you're going to have mistakes. So I was at the Commanders training camp on Sunday. Well, the Commanders training camp, one of the very first plays, Jaden Daniels throws a really bad interception that gets basically run back pretty far. Like, there are going to be mistakes. I don't care who you are, you know, how good of a player you are. I think I don't think it's as difficult to respond from that. I think it's when you have the epically bad stuff, like the stuff where it's like, you know, almost uncomfortable in the meeting room because you say, like, everybody knows it actually doesn't even need to be corrected because it's so bad. Like, those are the ones that are a challenge. And I think it takes a lot of that before you get a guy that just starts to lose his confidence. So, you know, I don't think a bad day, I don't think, you know, one bonehead decision, I don't think that does it. I think ultimately it ends up being one of these things where guys are looking around and just saying, look, this is not it. So I guess I say that all to say, probably too early to say, okay, hey, shook confidence, you know, after a single practice.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, can you explain to our listeners, because this is sort of the tightrope that we got to walk when we're out at practice, describing practice, but describing it in a way where you're actually telling the viewers or the listeners what you're seeing, but trying to get them to understand that, hey, listen, it was the first day of pads. Typically when that happens, especially when you don't have a veteran quarterback, the defense tends to throw a lot of confusing things at the offense,
yeah,
which makes that young quarterback have to think. It's the second and third practice that I'm more concerned with, that if he hasn't picked it up then, or at least has shown that he's recognizing some things, then maybe we got to slow the development down just a little bit.
Yeah, and on top of the scenarios of what you're painting in terms of, you know, what the team is experiencing. So you have a veteran-ish receiver, you know, an experienced, at least, you know, relatively, receiver get hurt. And so now you sign somebody off of the street. And so now everything kind of gets accelerated in terms of the receiver position. So again, only because it's fresh in my mind, being there Sunday at Commanders camp, no Terry McLaurin. So, like, you know, I would think we all agree the Commanders receiver situation, you know, is better than the Titans at the moment, even though Terry McLaurin. They had added Deebo Samuel. Luke McCaffrey's been in their system for a while. And so they were doing a red zone period. Mm-hmm. And, look, there were struggles. And you think, well, this is a quarterback that was, you know, in some ways in the MVP, you know, discussion at times last year. They've upgraded at receiver. You know, even without McLaurin, and there were still some struggles. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it that, you know, some issues in terms of personnel early in camp, and then situations that maybe some of those younger players, quarterback and receiver, haven't, you know, been in together operating in before. Yeah, you can see some offensive struggle.
Now, also, Tim, explain to our listeners, because what I explained to Willie, it seems like there was an emphasis on you know, deep balls today. And when you have an emphasis on deep balls, sometimes you're going to run the play no matter what, and you're going to make the throw no matter what, because you just want to get a true picture of what's going on. And sometimes that may end up, you know, to others looking like, man, why did he make that throw? Why are they doing this? Why is he holding on to the ball? Maybe that he's holding on to the ball because there's an emphasis on trying to push the ball down the field as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely times in a camp where, you know, a coaching staff will look at the team and say, you know what, like, I don't know that we are, you know, like how well we're doing this. And so we're going to major in this in today's practice because we want to see, you know, if guys will, you know, perform well, you know, in this environment. So, like, even an example, like I said, App State's spring practice, and I was talking to their head coach, and they were running a bunch of inside zone. It was just like, look, we need to get better at running inside zone. He's like, the shame of it, was based on what our defense is doing today, it's going to feel like we're just slamming our head against a cement wall because they're not really the best looks for us to run those runs against. But we need to invest in, is this going to be a good run for us? Can we call this? And so no differently with saying, all right, we got this receiver group. We know we need to be able to make explosive plays. We need to find out on some of these 50-50 balls, some of these opportunities to track the ball down the field, make contested catches. Do we have guys currently on our roster that can do that? And so, yeah, today, quarterbacks, look, if it's close, we're giving the guys the opportunities to get their hands on the football. Let's do that. So, yeah, you're right. Sometimes, you know, if you don't know that that's what the point of emphasis is, you can wonder, man, why does he keep throwing up contested passes on go routes? Well, maybe there's a reason behind it.
Tim, quickly before we get you out of here, I was having a few discussions with some individuals on the sideline, and I got asked the question, well, how does this team, you know, realistically, you know, how is this team? And I explained it in this way. I said, listen, if they just go 27 deep, you know, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and then a couple of guys here and there. If they can stay healthy 27 deep with their top end, then I think they can compete. And I'm not saying, you know, this is a playoff team or anything else, but I think it gives them a better shot at competing and winning some games that maybe we didn't think they were going to win. But if this team gets hurt, if they start to have injuries like they have before, this team is not deep enough to overcome any injuries, I believe, to their starting unit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And in fairness to the team, look, if, you know, if Dallas, you know, had a few injuries, like they don't have the depth. Look, and you look at what happened to the Chiefs a year ago. They had an issue at left tackle. They had to move a guard to tackle. And, you know, ultimately that was a big, big problem for them. So I do think that there are teams where you can feel like that's the case. Now, I will say, like, and this is the time of year for optimism and all of that. But I, again, to bring it back to the Commanders, they were not a deep or very good team a year ago. They were not deep at wide receiver a year ago, really, outside of McLaurin, some journeyman guys. But, you know, because the quarterback was right, the hope and trajectory of where they feel that very next year are completely different. Like, the optimism there, because of one person, changed the way they handled the offseason. It's why you go get Deebo Samuel. It's why you invested in the offensive line the way they did. And so I think that's really what you want to do. You like give us the hope, Cam. Like, give us the hope. Make the guys around you better, and then we'll step on the gas while you're on your rookie contract.
Tim, one more quick one. It's been sort of a running theme, and again, it's only been a couple of practices, but it does seem like for the Titans, there hasn't been a huge amount of enthusiasm, energy, and we're not talking about fights or trash talk, but there's an energy at a practice that you're kind of looking for, especially with the first padded practice. So when you're running a practice, how do you try to create that as a coaching staff? Who do you look to do it? And if you're not seeing it, what do you do?
Yeah, so I think the way you do it is competitive periods. So situations, when you're talking about, you know, in the NFL, you're creating situations so it's competitive, red zone, third down, stuff like that. You try to do it. It's one of the reasons people have open practices. So, you know, where you position those periods in the practice, you know, so the big guys aren't just completely shot by that point. So I think there are a bunch of different ways. Also, you know, how you watch those competitive periods in film review as a team, as a staff, where guys know, listen, everybody saw it, both sides of the ball. I think those things, can lead to more competitive, spirited practices. Now, I will say this: somebody said we've got like a heat dome or something hitting the United States, so. Again, Commanders practice beating the drum here, but it was they must have had 6,000 people there. There's a buzz there. It was fans were cheering. The start of practice was really incredible, and I think all of them would admit they fell apart by the end. Mm. In this heat, early on, especially if you have some veteran players, things like that, it just maintaining it is really difficult. So I do think that's where for coaches. How much you schedule of that, where you schedule it in your practice, and then how you manage. Did you move your practice up because it's blazing hot? All of that stuff. So that's why the Ensworth Tigers won't be practicing until the sun goes down.
Okay, smart move. Tim, thanks a lot for checking in with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Yep. All right, Tim Hasselbeck checking in from Clarksville over in Austin Peay. A shout-out to the Govs out there where Ensworth is doing their training. Once upon a time, the Titans had a training camp out there. And it was hot. It was definitely hot this morning. They went at 8 a.m. And year in and year out, I don't remember too many practices for training camp starting that early, but I'm sure that that's why. It was because of the heat. And it was hot for sure. It didn't seem like it was as hot as we can experience because it was earlier, but notable.
They could have played in it, man. It wasn't that.
You're not.
I'm not buying that.
I agree.
I'm not buying that. But hey, listen, it's not. I'm not the head coach of this team, and I know that, you know, there's a very thin line between, you know, winning and losing. You try to use every advantage that you can, or try to use every, you know, situation as a situation you can help your team. So you practice early so they don't, you know, have to deal with the heat. But here's the thing. You can't do this too many times. You just can't. I could see doing it, you know, the first day. But after that, it's like, man, we can't say to the NFL, hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's too hot. Can we play at 10 o'clock, please? Thank you. You can't do that. Eventually, right, they're going to have to be out in that heat. And I'm sure Cali will put them out in the heat. So I'm not sitting here criticizing them for that. But I think sometimes, and rightfully so, sometimes they make too big of a deal about these players out there in the heat during practice. Do the same thing you do for them in a game. You know, put some, you know, cold stuff, you know, some mist stuff out there so they can, you know, stay cool. But taking them out of the heat, not really doing them any justice.
Yeah, there's a balance.
At least not to me.
There's a balance, for sure. All right, we're going to react to some of the things that Tim said. Also, we've got some calls and texts, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DVD continues right after this. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615. It's to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville, help a child in Middle Tennessee, not Minnesota, which I almost
Minnesota
said.
Too.
Why, I don't know. Step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. So for more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for Souls. Souls for the 615. It's sponsored by Macero in 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. DVD continues as we react to Tim Hasselbeck talking about the first padded practice for the Titans. We've got some texts also on our call at text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCounty.com. We've got some questions about the offensive line. Skyler says, how did Dan Moore Jr. look, D-Mace?
I know that there was one play where he, you know, got beat, but I think for the most part, things that I've seen, he did an okay job. It wasn't something that was, you know, noticeable on the bad end or the good end. I think they all sort of had their moments, especially when the Titans were bringing pressure to try to cipher through all that stuff and make sure their blocking assignments are correct. So they all had their own troubles, but you know, I don't think Moore stood out in a bad way. You know, it's just like the quarterback. You got to come out and you got to do better in the next play. Now that you have seen it, you got to come out and there's no excuse.
I would agree. Nothing jumped out at me about the offensive line in general. And this will take care of Wes's question in Clarksville. Was it the O-line that contributed to Cam and his issues in practice? I didn't think so. And this is, again, not knowing the context of the plays they're calling and all of those things. I wonder about being able to block this unique scheme, because you've got edge rushers that are inexperienced, not super decorated, and then you've got the very strong interior, which is, you know, very different than some of the fronts they're going to see. But all in all, I thought the offensive line looked okay. I didn't think they ran the ball very well. But running plays in training camp have always confused me. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know because you're not actually bringing the guy to the ground.
Yeah.
It did look like the defense did well in the running drills when they were just all the plays were running plays.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, you don't know if the guy's going to be able to take them down or not. You see that the hole is a little bit plugged. But we've seen runners get out of that if guys are not form tackling and doing the right thing. But it did seem like on majority of the running plays, the defense, it would have been a minimal game. They did have one or two that sort of popped out of there. But for the most part, I think they would have been minimal gains. to a point. Sometimes they were even stopped behind the line of scrimmage.
I agree. All right, let's. There's another question or two about the Heat, and what the contribution of the Heat to a struggle of the practice. But this is the day and age we live. Tim Hasselberg used the term Heat Dome, and these are all new things that I would say in the last 5 to 10 years there's been much more of an emphasis on. Don't you think?
Yeah, there's been this, you know, of taking care of the player. You know, because they have all these monitors on players that tracks their heart rate and everything else, the heat index on their bodies. So they track all of this. And you know as well as anybody, Willie, because you follow a lot of this. The analytics says this is what you need to do.
Sports science.
Yeah, this is what you need to do. Hold players out. You know, don't let them go consecutive plays. Watch his heart rate. You know, and if it's, you know, ticking up some, you got to pull him out. So there, when there is this much money invested into, you know, a situation, that's when you're going to have things like what teams have now as far as the analytics and how they're measuring, you know, individuals when they're going through practice. So I think on one hand it's a good thing, but I think on the other hand it can sort of handicap you where you're so worried about, you know, putting a guy in the red that you sort of taper down everything.
Ron, last texter for this hour, then we'll move on to some other Titans topics here coming up. Hey, Mace, what have you seen that you like about Cam in his growth so far? And, of course, this is in the context of he definitely struggled today. You're going to hear that all day until practice starts tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. That how's the rookie going to handle it? But what do you like so far?
I think what I do like, he is recognizing some things, but he's a little bit too slow to pull the trigger. He's recognizing hots. That's when your tight end or your receiver got to help you out. They got to recognize it too. So those are the things that I'm encouraged. He sees the play, but he has to speed up the process in his mind. He sees it, but in his mind, it's still a tick slow. So I am encouraged that he's seeing it, even with some of the bad throws or the interception. He saw it. He's like, you know, hey, he's pointing. I got to do this. So he's recognizing it. He just has to process a little bit faster.
All right. When we come back, we will look at some other things. ESPN has come out with their ranking of the top talent under 25. And it might surprise you where the Titans rank in this. I was very surprised myself. And it was my guy, Aaron Schatz, who put the list together for ESPN. So we'll tell you how that came out and who ranks at the top when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game.